settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education. And on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing Beyond Physical Death. And this is a series that we've been doing, really. And they all stand alone. Each program stands on its own merit. And so don't worry if you've missed any of the others. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And this is toll-free. You can actually phone if you are an international caller. It's not toll-free, though, and I don't know how many people will be up and about listening to this live. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you as well. It's 001-530-876-3222. Maybe they can't sleep or something like that. That would be
maybe.
Good,
that could
it?
Be it, couldn't it?
Yes. What a great way to pass the time.
Yeah. Better. No better way to pass the time. Absolutely. I'm Mick Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. Here on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST. And we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, and maybe book an find some CDs or book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. And so without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and she's going to explain more. Bye.
Gradually sped up, didn't it?
It did, didn't it? As I was getting to the end of my piece, I just did.
Okay. I think Gregory's nearly here, isn't he? Because you're sort of gibbering. Anyway.
More of an idiot.
Yes. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team, have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. To understand the nature of our existence, hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in, is the actual situation to the White Cloud Group. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there's no room for errors, because interpretation doesn't come into it. As Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can also actually join us again on Sunday evening, or Sunday, whatever, wherever you are in the world. Sunday, it's PST, let me see, that's 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock, at the Mystic Academy in the Oracle Temple. You have another chance to interact with us regularly and ask questions on Sundays as well, if you'd like to join us. So. But anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now. Hello, Gregory.
Good luck and sight. I'm not going to this bird.
Thank you. Hello. And today we're going to carry on carry on from last week, really. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you missed last week, but we did have some emails come in about how, you know, people love to find out just these simple things about the spirit world, what it's like in the spirit world. You know, we talk week after week about other situations that happen in the spirit world, maybe the more serious sides of it. But you know, last week you were telling us about how you actually, well, it started off by asking you what you were wearing, I think.
Yes.
And you were talking to us about what you were wearing and how this came about. I mean, and it was really fascinating. I think we did a whole show on just one outfit.
Believe so, yes.
Yes. So, but there's Jade from New York, for one, emailed me and said, you know, it was absolutely just fascinating. And she wondered if your clothes, or different people's clothes, anybody's clothes or whatever, were made so elaborately, because you did tell us very briefly for our listeners that weren't with us last week.
Yes.
That, for instance, the dwarves helped you make this outfit, and it was made from, well, there was butterflies involved, and there were birds from a planet involved.
Yes.
And all of these amazing things. It's just fascinating. Is it always like that?
No, not always. No. It's just because, I suppose, at times, others within the group like for me to perhaps wear things, garbs of a different nature, which in a sense reflect the nature, the encompassing nature of the spirit world. That is the whole point, really. It's not that everyone dresses like I do. I'm very much an individual. And I dress the way that I do because of others' desire, in a sense, to show the ability of the spirit world in thought form to be able to bring about their gifts to one another, you see? And that's really my point, that it means that all, each and every one who comes here to the spirit world in return of their physical journey, in order to help them to acclimatize, to show them perhaps the huge variance that may be offered to the mind consciousness of the spirit journey. So it means then that people, when perhaps they are feeling devoid of what was in their physical life, or perhaps do not know how to connect to that aspect of their physical life, it's in a sense showing them that consciousness is something which is real and active and proactive, so that the consciousness of others you may interact with in many respects. So that's how gifts of anything in terms of energy is given from one being to another, don't you see? So that also relates to in understanding for one person how they may receive a gift of love and attention from another. Thought is a living thing. It means that the gift actually bestows upon you and that you feel it because there are no barriers. That's the point, really.
I just have to interrupt here and say for the listeners that did want to listen to last week's show or any of the other shows in this series or any other show, you can actually go to our archives on our Spirit's Work page and listen to them on there. Okay, sorry, carry on.
Yes, so it is, and in fact also, of course, you can listen to the archive, I believe, at the station.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So it is then, dear Finn, that the situation here is that, say, if you have a thought of love for someone else or an encouragement to someone else, how do you present it then? Is it going to be the way that you would imagine that a thought would be blessed, perhaps because you don't have a physical body? That means you cannot interact physically, but you can, because your emotional field and the way that you remember your cell memory is something that becomes actual, so that you actually look down at what should have been your hand because you remember all of the movements of your physical body and what that actually felt like in the spirit world. It's a way in which we can impart to you how thought and imagery actually works. Thought as image, thought as motion, thought as emotion. They are all linked because they're all parts of thought of your consciousness you had in physical life. Therefore, it means that when you are a person who are showing some attraction towards someone else because you want to help them through giving or something like that, then my emergent energy, shall we say, that I wish to help some old lady who has just passed, then it is my emergent energy will move around that person and, in a sense, make that person feel as though they are being held or caressed in some way, purely and simply out of an emotional attachment to that person.
Like a big hug.
Yes. Right, so, and that's exactly what they will feel like.
And of course, that's what you do to us on the earth plane as well, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So, yes, absolutely. And so that is a part of the process. I will it with my consciousness. And the actuality of that is built through not just my cell memory of the being that I was, but the being that I am now, because it's all interactive. My cell memory from my physical life and also from the interactivity of my pure spirit before I had a physical life, they are all interactive parts now of my consciousness.
Which, when you're here, they're not, unless you can connect with it.
Yes, exactly so. But in the spirit world now, I have learnt to connect with all of me, the spirit that I am.
And if you'd like to join us with a question, the phone lines are open. It's toll-free in the 877-876-5227 in the US, and it's Canada 888-815-9756. So if there's anything that you would like to know, maybe how to do or recreate in the spirit world, or anything to do with the spirit world really, or your thoughts about situations to do with what happens after death, it's not a reading type of situation that we do on the show, but you can ask Gregory anything to do with what I've just been talking about. Do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. You know, is there anything that you would like to particularly keep doing when you get to the spirit world and that sort of thing? Okay, can we go keep to these simple things that tend to get missed, really, in the whole ascending our vibration situation and the halls of learning and everything? Just simple things like, you know, clothes and that sort of thing.
Yes, well, oddly enough, my friend, one of the things that people usually miss are shoes.
Really? Even women?
Well,
I think that's just such a classic here, isn't it?
Yes, right.
Women in their shoes.
Yes, but the point is, I wouldn't say miss them, but that is one of the things that actually usually goes first from the consciousness. It's not a part of the apparel of life in the spirit world.
Oh, how interesting.
And so it actually appears to be that most people are barefooted because they don't. It's not something that they're consciously aware of and therefore attract as an item of clothing, shall we say.
Mm.
So then we see people observing certain kinds of their own state of dress, perhaps. And they will wear a certain familiar garb, perhaps, that they used to enjoy wearing in physical life. But perhaps that garb will be actually, in a sense, enhanced slightly by some other aspect or perfecture of their vibration. And this can come through then, for example, if they are wearing a knitted kind of garment, which is like a, how would you say?
Pullover?
Yes, very well, yes, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that it's something that has been knitted. But actually, what you would see as you were observing someone else wearing this kind of garment would be perhaps that the light from within them was actually permeating through the stitching.
Really?
Yes. Obviously, this would depend upon the vibration of the person and whether and how much perhaps they were emerging from their physical life journey and the memory of it, perhaps to do with the way in which their spirit was alternating or vibrating within their own journey. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, because here, you know, we talk about the aura around the body and that sort of thing, but that's interesting that spirit actually permeates through the garments that you wear.
Yes, absolutely so. And it's actually because of the fact that the spirit is essentially, primarily, the center of energy.
Mm.
That means to say that, so for example, if I was at the closest proximity that I, or rather should I say, at the instrument's physical body is from you now,
mm-hmm.
it would be that as I look upon you, I would actually, not only would I see your aura as a spirit entity, but I would also see the registry within that aura of the detail, shall we say, of your emotional event, or I would see the within the aura the detail of perhaps some situations, not necessarily always of why you passed or everything to do with that. These are sometimes not necessarily revealed immediately. It depends on how they are carried upon that spirit and whether they are situations overcome or whether they are situations still needing redress. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so it will be that as you look through the aura, I would see that there are perhaps certain kind of situations or lights within the aura which are perhaps less frequent, but that as I look at the being, I can see into them, in a sense.
Mm.
And that it's almost like the clothing is just a very thin paper, or almost like a translucent paper.
And can anybody see that?
Well, it depends, really. I'm not saying that I am in any way special. I am just saying that perhaps because of my years of being within the situation of bringing about great states of healing to do with people, it really means because I'm having to deal with their problems as they come through to our side of life, then it oftentimes comes about that what I'm actually doing is dealing with their issues that I see, but also their underlying causes within that being, so that I am able to have perhaps enhance their healing journey.
You've developed different skills, basically.
Yes, I believe so.
You know,
in that respect,
even though that wasn't the purpose, that is the outcome.
Yes, quite so. Yes, because of my yearning to help others. That means that I am actually able to perceive the will of others and how perhaps their journey may unfold and their caring may unfold, perhaps in ways that they would not see, because maybe they cannot actually divulge to me their whole and utter journey as to why it is they have landed in the state they have. That doesn't mean to say that all beings who pass to our side of life end up in a state. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that that is a peculiarity that I am sometimes able to bring about and understand within beings, so that I am able to help facilitate greater needs and greater understanding of their needs at the time of their passing.
So basically, you don't have to have already, you know, because you say that your hands, for instance, is to do with your cell memory, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right.
So.
Although I'm actually enjoying these ones at this present time.
Yes. But if it's to do with the clothes and that sort of thing, for instance, that we were talking about, you don't have to have had a memory. You don't only wear what you
remember your physical life.
Yes, yes.
No, that's quite true. Yes, you wear new garb. So, you get presented with different things, gifts from others, you see.
Okay.
From others within the soul group. So, you have the soul group memory of all of those thousands or perhaps even millions of beings from your soul group. So it may well be that shared memory is something so that you may end up clanking around in a suit of armor just because that was something that some medieval persons from your soul group happened to wear at the time.
Yes,
so you could share that memory.
Yes, that could be a bit awkward, couldn't it?
Certainly, if it's the wrong size for you.
Yes, or you just absolutely hate it.
Well, that is true too.
Yeah, so...
yes, get me out of here.
Well, absolutely, yes. So people give you things to wear.
Yes, many beings do. And that's the point, really, you see. So, for example, then... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
For example, then, it may well be that if you connect with a certain kind of bird or other animal, it may well be that you want to try out their manifestation. And we will need to get into that at some point.
Yes.
As to how that actually happens and works.
Yes. But fashioning your own clothes...
Yes.
Basically, so you only have, like you would maybe do it on a piece of paper, or, you know, try to put it onto paper... It would be more difficult to do that now than in
absolutely.
The spirit world, whereas you've got it in your mind, so you can imagine it, and it actually manifests itself around you, on you, and it's that's is that all there is to it?
Yes. Well, the point is that there are mind exchanges, just in the same way that you exchange conversation in the physical life. You can exchange mind references in the spirit world, so that one being may exchange their consciousness, some situation, simulation with their consciousness of what they have discovered in the spirit world. Yes?
Yeah.
And if you accept that gift of thought, then it may well be that you are then enabled to wear it. So you wear other people's thoughts.
Okay. Is there a wrong way to do things? I mean, it's a bit like here when we have to be careful who teaches us things.
Would you wear a jacket inside out?
Yeah, no, but I don't mean that. But I mean, you know, people here teach us things, and sometimes it's not right.
Oh, I understand.
You know, and we can be led up the wrong path.
Well, yes,
it,
of course.
However,
there
well-meaning.
Are people who play tricks on
others. Yeah, but however well-meaning these people are in this world, we get it wrong. We're fallible.
That is true.
So in the spirit world, you know, is that possible that you could get... Well, I guess, for instance...
If it's a train of thought from one person to another...
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely so. Yes. It may well be that way.
And then you meet somebody else, say, you come along and you say, oh, no, you don't want to do it like that. You do it like this. I mean, does this go on?
Yes, absolutely so, of course. Yes. That's exactly the same reason as to why it is that, shall we say, that someone who... someone then who passes, and maybe something that was of great interest to them in their life, was that they'd like to snowboard.
Yes.
With a piece of wood, a fashioned piece of wood, in order for them to move around on that kind of compact ice setting or snow. And it is, of course, that it happens then to be the limit of that conscious being setting that they would only perhaps want to do that, and that because that maybe formed a very great part of their life pattern or something they really enjoyed or loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like skiing, you see, or any other kind of activity that they enjoyed in physical life. So what we would do is that we would try to teach that person that they didn't just have to do that, that even though that was a remnant of their physical life, that they could still, it could still be something that they could enjoy in the spirit world, or even, in a sense, interact with in the physical world. So that means to say not that they would be fully, shall we say, on a molecular level, that they would actually be interacting with it, but that because the physical world is in that dimension, it would enable that spirit to be able to perhaps interact with it in a different way through their own consciousness, so that even though they were a non-physical being, they would still be able to react with a physical state of environment, shall we say.
Substance. They would interact with snow.
In respect of that the board that they were standing on would not be... still leaving a track mark, so, because because it wouldn't be actual. But their feelings and their understandings, wouldn't suddenly be that the board would disappear because they weren't accelerating it within their consciousness constantly. It would be something that they've got it, they're standing on the board, and they begin to move with it. So it would actually then be all-encompassing. It wouldn't suddenly vanish from them, and they end up with it's not being present.
And if they'd ever had, or if they used to be fearful of an accident happening or something like that,
yes.
Could they create an accident?
No.
In their own mind, and actually have it?
No, because what actually happens, it wouldn't end up like that. It would be maybe that they had some kind of a situation. Maybe it was in a translucent memory of their conscious state, and so that what actually happens is that they fall off it. They don't hurt themselves because there's nothing to hurt.
Mm.
So it's just in a sense of laughing about it, really, as a memory. Then.
Mm.
You see, it's a way of memory recovery so that you actually can play out situations that perhaps you may have been fearful of in the physical life and understand it's not going to hurt you now.
Mm.
And that is very much the kind of thing that we try to bring people through in from their physical life and their journey now in the spirit world. We try to bring them through that so that they can perhaps interact with it in a different way. Like, for example, the person some years ago that we dealt with who had I remember that she had a certain memory to do with this very act of using that she loved to be on a snowboard. So what we actually taught her to do was to snowboard along electricity pylons and the cables of them as a term of something that she could do at any time of the year. Not that necessarily that there would have to be an interactivity of snow that she would then have to impress upon her conscious mind in order to interact with it.
Yes.
I know that it's all, in a sense, elemental because it's non-physical, really, but that I'm saying that spirit from our side of life are able to interact with the physical environment, not have or make an impression upon it, but actually present within it if they want to do that. That doesn't say that they are
earthbound,
yearning to come back, or that they are earthbound or anything like that. That's ridiculous.
No.
And that actually means that you don't really understand what the condition is.
Mm, yes, well, I mean, and the thing is, why would you want to just move on completely from the earth experience just like that when you still have people here, possibly, and an interest in the love of the planet? And all of the understandings that go with it, with that, really.
Yes, and not only that, but maybe you never ever had that kind of experience when you had a physical life.
Yeah.
So maybe you actually want to understand how that manifestation may be carried out, and others within your soul group, it's quite possible that they will help you do that, possibly because they actually manifested it themselves in their own physical life and will share that experience with you, and that you actually wear it. Completely, see, so you actually understand that experience. Doesn't mean to say that you've got to come back and have another physical life in order to understand what that experience would have been like.
Mm.
That's why it is that you can actually accomplish anything in the spirit world.
Mm.
Once you pass,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to regurgitate this pestering physical life again and again in order to do that.
No. That's
a myth.
Yes, so because we're talking about basic skills, really, aren't
yes.
we? Yes,
basic life skills of continuing
yes.
life after
yes.
physical death.
Which is actually one of the most important things. I mean, we've talked a lot about the halls of learning.
Yes.
And we all assume that that's the sort of, I don't know, more advanced thing, really, but I don't suppose it is it?
No, it's very simple as well. Mm. It's a very simple traits and understandings that you have that you can bring about in your consciousness so that when you open up a book, shall we say, and that you, it may be a book that is to do with learning to play a piano or some other musical instrument. And as you open the book and you ask of the book to bring out its secrets, of how you would perhaps learn a, maybe it's a musical instrument from some distant planet. Not necessarily it's going to be an invention from the Earth, although for some large part of it, it will be, because that is all that your conscious mind can accept at that time. See?
Mm.
And then gradually, as you embrace the fundamental basics of the universe and how it may be that you can embrace other thought forms of other rationales that are completely outside of your present acceptance, that means that you don't have your horizon which is encrusted in your own thought or only the excesses of your thought, but that you can actually think outside of yourself in the truest state of it, in the truest way of it. It means that you can actually think beyond your own physical life journey. And that also will help you to enhance your journey as a pure spirit being. Because that, in a sense, is the beginning of the stripping away of your memory being locked and fixed as a physical human being. Do you see? That doesn't mean to say that you're losing it. Doesn't mean to say that you're losing your consciousness as a physical being or as the life that you had in a physical state. It means to say that what you are doing is you are learning beyond the scope of Earth life. You are learning to embrace the encompassing and everlasting journey of Earth.
And if you'd like to join us with a question for Gregory, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the spirit world and anything that you would like to know about the spirit world. The number is toll-free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-756. I remember when we first started doing this many years ago, you said that we had to be careful not to make it sound so wonderful that everybody was going to sort of take their lives because they wanted to be there and not here because it's so difficult here.
I know.
Mm. On the other hand, obviously, we can bring these things to people in the hope that they're very sensible about it. But
we have to perhaps understand that people can also increase their own tolerances of what they are perhaps manifesting at this present time and understand that there is yet more greater journey for them.
Yes, well, it's a comfort, I think. It's something that might bring peace, and the whole thing about what we're about really is eradicating fear, and death is a big stick, isn't it? In that way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think anyway, and obviously our listeners absolutely love hearing about this. Is there anything else that you can think of that we would find really interesting about manifesting things in the spirit world in the way? Well, like I say, last week with the clothes, any nice little stories?
Yes, well, so there are situations then that you may share with other beings. That means to say that I know that we have touched on this before in the manifestation series that we had done some time ago. I believe that was well over a year, 2 years ago in terms of linear time. To do with, for example, the way in which a being may manifest something from another being. That's the exchange of thoughts then. It may not be that this other being comes from your soul group, may be that they came from a different species altogether, or maybe from a different vibration altogether. In this way, it means that remembering that, as I say, it's not necessarily that you have to lose something of the concept of self, necessarily, but what you do is you move on from it. You don't lose it, just move on from it.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that you are at times enabled to make connection with other beings, which then enables you as a being to, for example, that you would wish to understand how to perhaps be in another being's shoes. Understand how that really is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then within this is that we'll say that you are you've just met with a person who was a 15th century monk.
Okay.
And this 15th century monk, perhaps, not a Tibetan monk, I'm suggesting that this would be someone, perhaps a Franciscan monk, or something like that. And you wanted to understand what it was like, of something of their life attitude. Perhaps they came from a certain kind of priory, maybe at a time of their choosing, not necessarily to do with some difficult memory that they had, but maybe some joyous memory, or just maybe possibly to do with a day in their life. And this is my point, really. You don't just get this from books. This is something to do with interactivity with another being. So it can be then that you perhaps exchange roles, or you exchange different parts of that person's pathway with your own. That doesn't mean to say that you become them and they become you, but you wear one another's consciousness for a little time so that you can understand what it felt like to be them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, also at times, you could become closer to them in that respect. That means to say that you feel what they felt like. You perhaps understand certain conditions of their consciousness as well. And that's, I understand, something very difficult for people oftentimes to manipulate or manifest in their minds, because they're in physical linear reality. So it means that that's difficult, the difficult thing to do. But when you're in the spirit world, it's actually quite easy.
Yes, I can't actually imagine how you do that. I mean, is it something that you have to, I don't know, sort of do in an isolated room together, or actually, you
yes,
know.
Yes, one moment, I'll take myself off
yes,
here, and so I'll unzip myself. But that's what, in a sense, that's what you actually do with your consciousness.
Really?
Yes. You just, in a sense, just climb out of it.
Mm.
So that there is your consciousness. Remember, your consciousness is actually a coat. It's like you imagine your physical body with a certain kind of skin. And that, so I'm saying that this is your spirit, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So your spirit is wearing a certain kind of skin. That's your outer physical memory, your cell memory of what you felt that you looked like as a physical being. So that may be that as a wrinkly prune of a person, or someone who was, usually they end up in being around 25 to 35.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that seems to be an anomaly.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yes, as most people like to feel that is what they always were. And that's actually the essence of what most people feel like within themselves. They don't feel old, necessarily.
Mm.
Actually, when they come to our side of life, that's kind of around the age or the essence of that person's life and how that they feel. And that's exactly how you feel now. I know that at some times of the day or night, you feel a lot older than that, but they're only in fleeting glimpses.
Mm, it is true. You do tend to sort of like stick to a certain age, not feel any older.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah.
And so what you do then, you can imagine that there is your pure, beautiful spirit clothed in your garb of your physical journey and of the cell memory, illuminating that cell memory, and you just climb out of it. And then you climb into their cell memory. You exchange just for a little while.
Not literally climb, but...
No, but you just share the experience so that you blend and move from one to the other.
Mm.
Yes? But it's only for a limited time period, usually.
So what do you do at that time, though? Do you actually do something as them, or do you just stand there and, like...
And then you actually share that imparted memory.
Hmm.
If that is what they want to illuminate to you, or you actually discuss, first of all, what it is that that person wants to enjoy about your learning or your life-living experience. See?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's actually to do with how you want to share an experience. Maybe that you want to actually share thoughts in the spirit world in a certain way so as to accommodate a point of learning, perhaps. Maybe to do with some other kind of being. Maybe it's to do with some story or book that you read in the halls of learning. So there it is then, you're regurgitating the memory of your of the book that you read, rather than actually going through the whole laborious process, you just swap.
And you can do this before you've had a physical life, can't you, to do with
yes.
other things? Because this is one of the things that I don't want to harp on, go on to reincarnation, but this can be something then that you can remember when you have a physical life and think that it was your life.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Exactly so. And this especially is something which takes place most often times. It's actually in relation to other beings who have had a physical life who are from your soul group.
Mm. But you've shared this vivid experience with.
Yes, and it's because the fact that they are come from your soul group means that your love energy is almost identical. It's on the same similar vibration. So it means to say, and that, understand, is something which transmutes from anything to do with your physical life. So that's not really necessarily to do with the being that you became because of your environment or the activities placed upon you because of that environment. So it's not to do with your vibration of emotion that you created within your physical journey, but actually comes through from your spirit state.
So this...
Your pure spirit state.
So this most probably could be, you know, well, you know, this is how I died or something like that. It could be very often...
It could be as a memory, that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, like you were just saying, pick something, what would you like to relive?
Yes, absolutely so.
You know, after you have presumably had a conversation about it. So have you ever done that and relived the way somebody's...
Past? Yes.
Yes.
I have done that. That is why I am so against the whole situation of whaling.
You did it with a whale?
I did it with a whale, yes.
Right.
Because I wanted to understand what a whale suffered.
Right.
At the hands of man.
I don't think we can talk about that because I'm welling up.
I understand, Fred.
So, okay, can it actually, when somebody suddenly realizes that they can make themselves young by thought, you know, there you are explaining to this very maybe wrinkly old person that just came, you know, who was having problems holding on to their marbles, as it were, their mind. At the end, anyway.
Yes.
And then you tell them how to do this, you know, thought, you think of it, and then it happens to them. Can it take them aback? I mean, can they become frightened by it? I mean, I know they can obviously be shocked about it.
Oh, no, it's wondrous.
It's a wondrous, always a wondrous, wonderful...
So beautiful.
Right.
It is so beautiful.
Okay. Okay.
In... The whole state of their realization that happens when dawning of presence of mind is a beautiful thing. It truly is a beautiful thing. And what happens then is, for example, you have a friend who their father when passed to our side of life was someone who, in a sense, it was a situation she could not help because he was, in a sense, he suffered from an immune deficiency attack from diseases which were present in the place that he was in hospital. And his physical body was attacked by the one thing that he was fearful of, one's death. And that actually what happened then was that when he passed, he actually had quite a problem to overcome that effect. And so I know that that's not the same as somebody losing their marbles, as you put it, but that in a sense it's how we are able to repair the consciousness and help the person, the being, repair their consciousness from their physical journey so that they understand that they can think beyond that now. What had happened was not that he had attracted it through his own thought, because it was his one greatest fear. Then it meant that he actually moved through it. He didn't go through that situation, that process, so that he could learn about his fear and overcome it from his physical life journey. That wasn't his lesson. And that wasn't a lesson that anyone else has to live through. It was actually just a part of the unfortunate state that beings around him had left him to. And it was because of their lack of foresight that it was something that he actually happened to suffer from and that caused his passing. Unfortunately, that what had happened was that some parts of this memory that he had then meant that it didn't entrap him, but it meant that he had difficulty overcoming it, you understand? Mm-hmm. So he needed a little bit of help. And we already knew that that was the case. So that we were readily on hand when we were able to help him over that problem. So it meant that what we did was we got him to imagine the time before that happened, to retrace that step backwards. So it's like he rewound his journey to a time before he passed, of a time when, before he was in the hospital, and rather at a time before he became that infirm that he had to be in that state. Yes? And by rewinding that time, we brought him back to an illumination of his own presence of mind and the imagination of what his own real lifetime experience had been. And one of the most illuminate experiences that he had had in his physical life was of watching his daughter pruning his orchard.
Isn't that interesting?
And he was so pleased that she was able to help, and he absolutely adored her.
But just a simple thing like that.
Yes.
You know, we think of our graduation days and,
yes,
you know,
like
all
so,
of that sort of thing.
But it's not like that, you see, because those are the biggest manifestation things. The things that really count are the little things, the little thoughts in life that pepper and permeate through all, each day of the journey. And it is to do with the little events in life that help one overcome the largest hurdles, perhaps to do with the difficulty of their manifestation after they have passed.
You've got time if you would like to ask Gregory a question. I think everybody's just on the edge of their seats here listening to you. I know I am. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. In the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's a beautiful story, actually, and I think, I don't know if you've got any other ones that you can share with us, but, you know, individual cases like that, because it's a bit like it's filling in the blanks.
The blanks, the missing links.
Yes.
Yes, I know, I understand that. Yes. You were going to say something?
Yes, I just had a bit of a blank there. Where was I? About the consciousness being your coat, really, and how you,
yes,
you were saying that it doesn't matter, if it doesn't have to be a person, it can be an animal.
Yes.
I think that's something that is totally fascinating.
Yes.
And he just... even more touching, really.
Yes, in a sense it is. And but to do understand, friend, you have to really be of a certain kind of vibration in order to be able to accept it, and for that animal to feel that it would be all right to have that temporary exchange. It may well be that the animal doesn't actually want to do that, but that instead it will just simply be a part of shared memory that will be passed from one to the other. So it may well, because some animals are quite frightened about it, particularly deers, that kind of animal. Fight or flight animals are often very difficult to accommodate in that respect, perhaps because it's something which is so ingrained within their instinctive behavior.
And yet, funnily enough, you were talking earlier on about the young lady that was snowboarding, and I happen to remember that case. Obviously I'm not going to say her name, but it was when we were, she actually got murdered, didn't she?
Yes.
And you were helping her to awaken her consciousness.
Yes, and to let go.
Teach her how to use her consciousness, that she could do all of these things she used to do before and that sort of thing.
Yes, so just attach it to a different way.
Yes,
And
there were also other young ladies as well that we were involved with that had been murdered. And there was one that she had a little deer, didn't she, that befriended her.
That is true, yes.
You got her a little deer. How did she get it herself, really? Did she?
In a sense, yes, because it was one of her earliest childhood memories.
Oh, right. I don't think I remembered how it came about.
Yes, it was actually one of her earliest childhood memories, that of actually seeing a deer in the snow. And
right.
It was a very young deer. Yes.
I wonder if she still got the little deer as a friend
now. I believe so.
Because they were inseparable then, and I think that's lovely to know that we could have maybe a little wild animal as a friend, that we term now as a wild animal, as a friend, when we're in the spirit world, to make friends with creatures.
Yes, absolutely so. Squirrels are especially that way inclined as well. And some people actually are very friendly with rats. Rats, too, are often that way, because they are very empathic creatures.
Dear me. All rats. All kinds of rats.
Well, yes, many different kinds of rodents. That's what I'm saying. Mm. That, I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have a beaver climb up on your lap or something like that. But that you would, because they're rather large. Mm. But that most certainly different kinds and forms of animals. I know that there are particularly very interesting situations and thoughts around certain people, particularly those who have interacted greatly with animals when they were having their present physical life, and once they passed to our side of life, they go on doing that.
Mm.
You see, like the wonderful gentleman who passed recently in the last couple of years, I believe, who was most endearing and enchanted. All of his work was about primates and monkeys. And he continues to, he has learned so much. It has been here. He dwells with gorillas, dwells with many other primates, with orangutan. They love him as one of their own.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Gregory, once again, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With love and light, let's be upon us.
Thank you. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us and our work. Book yourself an Akashic reading with Gregory, maybe. And as well as Spirit's work on BBS Radio on Mondays, we also have Spirit Teaching on artistverse.com on Tuesdays. But thank you so much for listening to us today. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been Spirit's work. Until next time. peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm singer-songwriter Fremont John, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. You know how short time really is, and you don't have time for all the negativity and meaningless chit-chat that's out there on other talk radio stations. BBS Radio is your source to a world of inspiring information you can use. You are living on a timeline, and you need information you can use to help you live your dream. Request my song Timeline right now. Buy my CDs at FremontJohn.com or CDBaby.com, and don't forget to friend me over on MySpace or Facebook. This is Fremont John. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior and the new book, Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior.